roasted grains offered into open hands, water shared, bread broken, in harmony with each other, and with God's good earth, which fed them all in this man's fertile land. She had come from afar, seeking this place of refuge, carrying her own suffering, her hunger, and her story deep inside her. "Why," she asked the good man from Bethlehem, "are you so kind as to notice me, a stranger in your land?" "Come," he said, "I have heard your story. You are stranger no longer. Come and eat the fruits of my fields, this bread, there is bread between us." Story in her, story in him, difference joyfully shared. Pieces picked up like broken grain and kneaded gently to make a new story, to change the world. Well, good morning, everyone. Morning too to those of you who are listening online or on the CD. I hope you enjoy your time listening in as well. The order of service has quite a lot of intimations this week. Well done, Marjorie and Anne, for fitting them all in. But just maybe to highlight one in particular, and we'll leave you to read the rest, and that's to do with the Hub Cafe. Some of you I know volunteer faithfully to help out in the cafe, but we really could do with some more volunteers. And so if you felt you had maybe an hour or two that you could give up to come along and help in the cafe, your help would be gratefully received. And if you could speak to June about that, she would be glad to hear from you, I'm sure. But we are also looking for a relief manager. We have the three ladies who look after the cafe for us, and we just realised it would be quite helpful to have another person who we could call upon, perhaps at short notice, but sometimes on a kind of planned course of action, to come in and coordinate the day's activities. So if you were interested in that, being a relief manager, or knew someone who might have the right experience to do that, again, if you could speak to June, it'd be a big, big help. But that's the one intimation I'm going to highlight today, because otherwise we'd be here a wee while reading through all the others there. You'll find them there for you, reading in your own time. We come to worship God, and we've come to the closing chapter of our Book of Ruth that we've been walking through these last few weeks. Me, you, her, him, them, those, the whole family of God is welcome here. A global family, a unique family, the whole family of God, welcome. Let us worship, let's stand and sing hymn 201. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness.
Thank you.
Let's come to God now in our prayers. Let us pray. Early in the morning, as creation stirs, as birdsong resonates, and as the first rays of light break through your hanging mist, we wait upon you in the right time, in this safe space. Out of the depths of our hearts and souls, we cry to you, O Lord. Stretching out of our slumbers, we are grateful for the rest and refreshment of a night's sleep, and that angels have watched over us and protected us. We open our eyes in delight at the gift of a new day, eager to discover the unexpected delights you have in store for us. We wait upon you in the right time, in this safe space, and out of the depths of our hearts and souls, we cry to you, O Lord. Turning our thoughts to those we love near and far, we take comfort that we do not travel through this world on our own, for we have companions, friends, and family who stay close. And more so, we remember your promise, I am with you to the end of time. We wait upon you in the right time, in this safe space. Out of the depths of our hearts and souls, we cry to you, O Lord. Because above all, we know that you listen to all that matters in our lives. Because you do not hold our failings against us, but see our best and forgive us when we stray. You give us the confidence to share our vulnerability, to open up in the confidence that you will heal our wounds. We wait upon you in the right time, in this safe space. Out of the depths of our hearts and souls, we cry to you, O Lord. Because we believe you watch over and witness all that happens in our lives. Because we believe you not only listen, but you can shape and sculpt our lives so that we may walk closer, love deeper, and behave more like you would have us behave. Because we believe that even though we incline to go our own way, still you are our constant and lasting hope. We wait upon you in the right time, in this safe space. Out of the depths of our hearts and souls, we cry to you, O Lord. God of compassion and mercy, we turn to you in confession, seeking your healing for our broken lives and our broken world. We acknowledge before you in the presence of our sisters and brothers that we have not always listened for your word, neither have we obeyed your commands to love as we have been loved, to seek your peace and the unity of the church. To forgive us as we pray we may be forgiven. We have allowed distrust and fear to rule our hearts and diminish our lives. We have created division and hurt when we should have sought each other's good. So forgive us all that has passed and renew us for all that lies ahead, reconciling us with each other and with you, our God. For the good news is this, anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. Who we have been is gone, who we are yet to be. God is revealing to us day by day, as we are shaped by the knowledge of God's mercy and reconciling love. Know that in Jesus' name you are forgiven and be at peace. And hear us, Lord, as we now join in the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the power and the glory forever. Amen. So we're coming to the end of our story of Ruth. And right at the very end of the chapter, which we'll hear very, very shortly, we get a sense of connection. Connection between the Old Testament and the story and the life of Jesus. And one of the things that always marvels me about the Bible is that these ancient, ancient words written centuries before Jesus was born are somehow just connected. There's this red line that writes itself all the way through the Old Testament, pointing forward into the New Testament. We read at the end of Ruth's these little these little words. Obed became the father of Jesse, who was the father of David. This is the family line for Perez to David. Perez, Hezron, Ram, Amminadab, Nashon, Salom, Boaz, Obed, Jesse, and then David. The great King David, who we know was the ancestor of Jesus. And if we fast forward to Matthew's Gospel opens with a little bit about the ancestors of Jesus Christ. And this is what it says here at the very first chapter of Matthew's Gospel. This is the list of the ancestors of Jesus Christ, a descendant of David, who was a descendant of Abraham. From Abraham to King David, the following ancestors are listed: Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Judah and his brothers, then Perez and Zerah, their mother was Tamar, Hezron, Ram, Amminadab, Nashon, Salmon, Boaz, his mother was Rahab, Obed, his mother was Ruth, Jesse, and King David. And from David to the time when the people of Israel were taken into exile in Babylon, the following ancestors are listed. And then it goes on and it lists them all the way through to Joseph and Jesus Christ is born. And it was making me think about how there's all these connections between the Old Testament and the New Testament, but equally there are connections between all of us. And I could do with some help here. Could you manage to help, McCallum? Would that be all right? Are you okay if I tie this onto your wrist? Okay, that'd be very helpful. I'm going to tie this onto your wrist. Right, okay. So I'm going to tie. Do you want me to tie him up, Chris?
I just... That's fine.
Is that all right?
Yeah.
Right, is that okay?
Yeah.
Right. Now, what I would like you to do, I'm going to show how connected we all are in here. So we'll unwind some of this string. And I think if you come down to your seat where you were seated, there we go. Right, you have a wee seat there. I think what we could do is we could maybe connect you to a few people. Would that be okay? Right, so if I come across to Anne, can I get you? I'm not going to tie you in tight. If I do that, is that all right?
Okay.
So you're connected. And then if I could pass you to Owen. And if you could just keep it on going and see how long, we won't get around the whole church because I've only got one ball of string. But this is just a wee illustration of how we're all in this place together and all connected by the story that we have in our Bible, the story of God. Because I see the Bible as not just a collection of different stories, but chapters of one book that connects us all. And whilst we can all hear this story of Ruth finished today, and we finish with that little genealogy that points her forward to Jesus through King David, but the story of the Bible doesn't finish at the last chapter of Revelation. The story of the Bible continues through each one of us that's gathered here this morning. So we'll leave you to keep going with that ball of string, see how far it gets. And then, Callum, maybe later on you're going to have to go and sit over there because we'll be needing to get down the... Okay. Right, but we're going to sing together our song as you carry on tying yourselves in knots. We're going to sing together 186 in our hymn books, Father God, I Wonder, hymn 186.
Thank you.
morning is from Ruth chapter 4. Boaz marries Ruth. Boaz went to the meeting place at the town gate and sat down there. Then Elimelech's nearest relative, the man whom Boaz had mentioned, came by, and Boaz called to him, "Come over here, my friend, and sit down." So he went over and sat down. Then Boaz got 10 of the leaders of the town and asked them to sit down too. When they were seated, he said to his relative, "Now that Naomi has come back from Moab, she wants to sell the field that belonged to our relative Elimelech, and I think you ought to know about it. Now then, if you want it, buy it in the presence of these men sitting here. But if you don't want it, say so, because the right to buy it belongs first to you and then to me." The man said, "I will buy it." Boaz said, "Very well. If you buy the field from Naomi, then you are also buying Ruth, the Moabite widow, so that the field will stay in the dead man's family." The man answered, "In that case, I will give up my right to buy the field, because it would mean that my own children would not inherit it. You buy it, I would rather not." Now in those days, to settle a sale or an exchange of property, it was the custom for the seller to take off his sandal and give it to the buyer. In this way, the Israelites showed that the matter was settled. So when the man said to Boaz, "You buy it," he took off his sandal and gave it to Boaz. Then Boaz said to the leaders and all the others there, "You are all witnesses today that I have bought from Naomi everything that will belong to Elimelech and his sons Chilion and Mahlon. In addition, Ruth the Moabite, Mahlon's widow, becomes my wife. This will keep the property in the dead man's family, and his family line will continue among his people and his hometown. You are witnesses to this today." The leaders and the others said, "Yes, we are witnesses. May the Lord make your wife become like Rachel and Leah, who bore many children to Jacob. May you become rich in the clan of Ephrath and famous in Bethlehem. May the children that the Lord will give you by this young woman make your family like the family of Perez, the son of Judah and Tamar." Boaz and his descendants. So Boaz took Ruth home as his wife. The Lord blessed her, and she became pregnant and had a son. The woman said to Naomi, "Praise the Lord. He has given you a grandson today to take care of you. May the boy be famous in Israel. Your daughter-in-law loves you and has done more for you than 7 sons. And now she has given you a grandson who will bring new life to you and give you security in your old age." Naomi took the child, held him close, and took care of him. The women of the neighborhood named the boy Obed. They told everyone, "A son has been born to Naomi." Obed became the father of Jesse, who was the father of David. This is the family line from Perez to David. Perez, Hezron, Ram, Aminadab, Nashon, Salmon, Boaz, Obed, Jesse, David. Thanks be to God for this reading of his word. Amen.
Thank you, Evelyn. We sing again, and this time we sing the little song that is in the sheet that was inside your order of service. "Where Shall You Go?"
Thank you.
And so we come to the conclusion of Ruth's story, the final chapter, the climax of a beautiful love story. A story we've learned over the last few weeks tells us something of God's nature. A wee recap of what we've learned so far from Ruth's story. In chapter 1, we explored how the story of Ruth was one of the story of a people of God on the move. Throughout the Bible, we find stories about God's people migrating and seeking refuge. Ruth and Naomi's story is not unique in that aspect. Ruth's story is one of a migrant, a young widow who leaves her homeland of Moab in order to accompany her mother-in-law to a place she has never visited before. A young widow who leaves her homeland to put down roots and establish a new life in a strange land. Ruth's story is one of so many in our world today. Migration and its causes and consequences are among the world's biggest talking points today. But it's not a new story. When looking at chapter 2, we explored the different characters in Ruth's story, their personal traits and their place in the story, and how God was working through them. We learned about Heshi, God's faithfulness and blessings, and how he continues to work through us, and that we need to be open to God's blessings coming to us through others. Something we explored further last week when we looked at chapter 3, how Boaz became the answer to his own prayer, and how we can be the same. And I challenged us all to think about what exactly we expect to happen when we bring our concerns to God. Do we lay them before him in prayer and walk away assuming job done? Or do we, like Boaz, become the answer to our own prayers by being active in the world? If we want the world to be less selfish, then we need to be less selfish. If we want the world to be a better, fairer world, then we have to act in the best interests of all those we say we care about. If we walk the walk as well as talk the talk, we can make a difference. And so we come to this final chapter. And again, we have a fantastic piece of storytelling with layer upon layer of symbolism embedded into a colourful story that could very easily be turned into a screenplay or even a stage show. And today's focus is not so much on Ruth, but on our other leading characters, Naomi and Boaz. There's a degree of humour too, particularly in relation to the unnamed next of kin, who appears to do a runner when confronted with the implications of taking on an inheritance of land, and indeed the responsibility of looking after Ruth. In fairness to the unnamed man, Boaz sets him up to fail in his duty. Buy the land, you have first dibs. And having agreed to buy the land, Boaz then informs him that by buying the land, he's also buying Ruth. Whoa, that was more than he bargained for. And he backs off, leaving Boaz in the position I suspect Boaz was engineering all along. The way is now clear for Boaz to marry Ruth. And we get a hint of why the man didn't want Ruth. The land bought would remain in Naomi's family, and so any children he might have with Ruth would inherit the land rather than his own existing children. In any case, Boaz got what he wanted, and he was clever enough to ensure that everything was witnessed by the leaders of the community. It was all above board. He would buy the land, and he got his girl. He got Ruth. And they all lived happily ever after, or so it seems. Boaz and Ruth marry, and Ruth bears a son. Life is transformed from barrenness to birth, scarcity to plenty. Under God's direction appears a plan of transformation is underway. And the women of the village recognize this significance too. Naomi, the mother-in-law of Ruth, now has offspring that protect the lineage of her family. In our Good News translation, the text says that Naomi took the child, held him close, and took care of him. Other translations translate the same verse as Naomi nursing the child, nourishing her lineage. This is heaving with symbolism. Naomi was the Israelite. Ruth was not. There's a hint here that Ruth is a surrogate for Naomi, enabling her family line to continue. And this becomes especially important as we think about the continued lineage of this family. Ruth and Boaz's son Obed, the father of Jesse, the father of David, King David, from whom Jesus' line comes. Obed was a mixed race child being used by God to establish a great lineage. The harvest of grain has become the harvest of a womb, and the women of the village have gathered round. The same woman who back in chapter 1 asks, "Is this really Naomi?" The same woman to whom Naomi has cried, "Don't call me Naomi, call me Mara, because the Almighty God has made my life bitter." Naomi had been bitter because of her situation, widowed, with no means of support. Theologian Catherine Schiffendecker makes this observation. She wrote, "Remember, Naomi and family had left Bethlehem at the beginning of the book because of famine. The house of bread, Bethlehem, was empty of bread. Naomi's life now is empty of what had filled it before, the love of her husband and her two children." Through Ruth, Naomi's eyes are opened and the bitterness sweeps away. And Catherine continues, "And it is when she begins to recognize the heshi, the loving kindness of God and the loving kindness of those around her, that she moves from being Mara, bitter, back to being Naomi, pleasant, and her empty heart and life begin again to be filled." Naomi is blessed by Ruth. Ruth, who stood by her through even in her bitterness. Ruth, who showed her loyalty and love, transcending nationality and culture. Ruth, the embodiment of the heshi of God's love. And the women of the village recognize this. "Your daughter-in-law loves you and has done more for you than 7 sons. Through Ruth, Naomi's future and that of her husband's lineage is protected. The love of Ruth replaces Naomi's bitterness with a new love and purpose. The heshi, the faithful love of God, has overflowed and filled Naomi's heart with love. The book of Ruth is a real treasure, so much more than a lovely wee story. The characters of Ruth, Naomi, and Boaz teach us much about the nature of God. And in their story, we have a compass needle that points forward to Jesus. Jesus, our Redeemer. A name given to Boaz by Ruth in chapter 3 when she asks him to take her as his wife. Just as Boaz made sure things were okay for Naomi and Ruth by taking responsibility for them, so Jesus did that for us, making the relationship between God and his people whole again for all time. A few weeks ago, I quoted Kevin Ruffcorn from the Desert Streams Lutheran Church in Illinois. And it's to him again I turn with his observation that, like Boaz and Jesus, we have a role, not only as a member of our immediate family, but also in our extended families and congregations and communities. We may be peacemakers, counselors, confidants, teachers, mentors, or a host of other positions. Our roles are specific and have the ability to touch and transform lives as God's love, grace, and forgiveness is shared and experienced. Kevin is encouraging us to hear to think about the roles that we play in our life and faith, and something we will be looking at more closely over the next few weeks as we dip into Paul's letter to the Ephesians and explore together what it means to be church. Kevin has some other wonderful observations to make about this morning's story. Of Boaz, he writes, "Boaz's friends were probably shocked by Boaz's announcement that he was taking Ruth as his wife. They would have also advised against it. This was a mixed marriage, something that was frowned upon by Israelite society. The Moabites were also enemies of the Israelites. Skirmishes and border raids were common, even though war had not been declared. Talk about sleeping with the enemy. Of course, there was also the age difference, not to mention the economic and social class difference. And still Boaz took Ruth to be his wife. And he goes on, Martin Luther believed that Ruth's inclusion as an ancestor of King David and Jesus was intentional on God's part. The Lord wanted to emphasize the truth that both Jews and Gentiles were included in God's saving work and could claim to be God's children. No matter how we identify ourselves, race, nationality, sexual orientation, God has claimed us as God's own and gathered us all into God's family. As we survey the people around us and live out this truth, we are invited to view them as Boaz did. When he saw Ruth, he did not see a Moabite or an enemy. Instead, he saw a person whom he loved and whom God loved too. And this takes us back to our look at chapter 1 of Ruth's story and the simple quote that I gave and shared from Konrad Adenauer. We all live under the same sky. It's not complicated, and yet we get so tied up in knots over who is in and who is outside the scope of God's love. When the truth is, no one is. Boaz was able to look past race and nationality and fall in love with the person Ruth. Boaz illustrates the inclusiveness of God's love for all his children. Yesterday morning, I was delighted to be part of a prayer group that met by the wonders of technology to pray with our friend and colleague, the Reverend Scott Burton. You may remember him from the Sunday that he was here with us to preach. That was my very first Sunday with you. Scott had been given the privilege of being the opening speaker at the Perthshire Pride event. And he was apprehensive about it because he knows that not everyone in the church is as supportive of the LGBT community as he is. And so a group of us gathered around our iPads and laptops, and together we prayed with and for Scott and the Pride event. He'd taken some flack for his willingness to speak, and the way in which so-called Christians have addressed him in the last few days has been less than Christian. But undeterred, Scott spoke yesterday, and he spoke a message of love and inclusivity, love that is from God and love that is God, and love that endures forever. The story of Ruth is a love story. There is the classic boy meets girl and they live happily ever after. But more importantly, Ruth is a story about God's love for all his children. Next week, as we begin our series looking at Ephesians, we will be exploring what role we all play in helping others discover the love of God for themselves. And for as many people as there are in church today, there will be as many different stories about what has brought you here and continues to bring you here. Because there are many ways into faith. Perhaps you were brought here and welcomed in, and that was enough to start your story with God. Possibly you picked up the Bible and started to read and decided you wanted to know more, and so you started to come along to church. Maybe you were forced to go to Sunday school and as a child, and you've never really left. Perhaps you had what is called a born-again experience, and your faith was almost instantaneous. Maybe you were inspired by the life of a Christian and just wanted a bit of their life for yourselves. Whatever brings you here is worth celebrating. Whichever route you took into entering into the story of God is worth a shout of hallelujah. And I'm sure God gave a wee cheer when you began to walk with him and became part of his story. Because you see, God has been waiting for us all. We've been chosen by God before we were even born. In Psalm 139, we have the wonderful verse, "When my bones were being formed, carefully put together in my mother's womb, when I was growing there in secret, you knew I was there. You saw me before I was born." God knew all about you before anyone else did. And he waited patiently for you to find him in your time and in your way. He waits for all his children. In the story of Ruth, we have a story of God using the most likely, unlikely of people to set in motion the great lineage of Jesus Christ. If a destitute refugee from Moab can give birth to the lineage of the great King David, then there is a place for everyone in the story of God. Ruth, Naomi, and Boaz. Their story is our story, and our story is God's story. Amen. We continue to worship God in our offering as we sing together we're going to uplift the offering and then we'll sing the hymn. Sorry, we'll uplift the offering. Abundant God, your gifts to us are wonderful and generous, and we thank you for them all. Please receive the gifts we offer today, our time, our talents, and our financial gifts. Take them all and use them for the work of your kingdom. Amen. Now we will sing together hymn 502, Take My Life, Lord, Let It Be. come now to God in our prayers for the world. Let us pray. Covenant God, you have always honoured the relationship between you and us, and you desire us to honour it too. You have set us the task of caring for this beautiful, fragile world and every living thing in it. Maintaining relationships is a task that is difficult and requires constant work. It needs us to listen and at times to make concessions that we might rather not. Lord, help us to listen to your Spirit and guide us in the way we should live. Some of us have slipped into a business mode of living rather than a relational mode. Too many are looking for a profit from a relationship rather than a good outcome for all involved. Lord, help us to listen to your Spirit and guide us in the way we should live. Some of us have used filters so that we can shut out bad news, other people's problems. We can ignore needs and pretend things are not what they seem. Lord, help us to listen to your Spirit and guide us in the way we should live. Some of us have regressed into our memories of the good old days rather than face reality and make these days good for everyone. Lord, help us to listen to your Spirit and guide us in the way we should live. Some of us are living in the past with those who have already gone before us and are struggling to find ways to live in the here and now. Lord, help us to listen to your Spirit and guide us in the way we should live. Some of us are overwhelmed with responsibility that you have given to us and are desperate to have help just so we can cope on a daily basis. Lord, help us to listen to your Spirit and guide us in the way we should live. Lord, hear all our prayers. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Our closing hymn is 559, There Is Our Redeemer. And you might want to unknot yourselves as you're singing to make it easier to leave at the end. So we sing together 559, There Is Our Redeemer. As we go from here, let's pause to remember those who have gone before and those who will be here in the future, those who feel welcome and those who feel excluded. Knowing ourselves as inheritors of God, may we be moved to hold space for others. We go to serve God by serving all God's children as we work for the kingdom. And we go with God's blessing today, tomorrow, and always.